Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Man, I am so excited about this series that we're doing this month, Breaking the Cycle. And I'm really jacked up, and that's a good thing, man, about this message today. Righteousness you can feel. Man, I tell you what, I hear people fight about righteousness, fuss about righteousness, and come up with all kinds of goofy doctrinal concepts of righteousness. But here's what I want to know is, do you feel it? Is it alive in you? Do you walk around feeling like the righteousness of God in Christ? You know what? And most people don't. And it's that very lack, that not feeling like we're supposed to feel about ourselves before God, that makes us vulnerable to every single temptation. Listen, this is going to be a message you're going to want everybody in your family to hear. You're going to want to send them a link to it. You want to go post it on Facebook. You want to help as many people as you can through this, because that's why we put these out here. Man, we want to be a blessing to the world. Now, this message and this entire series is available at our website, impactministries.com, for free. Check it out. Breaking the cycle is going to be an incredible investment in your life. Listen, when things aren't working, all it takes is one belief and your whole world changes. You're going to have a new tool in your tool belt. You have a new weapon in your arsenal. You're going to have new information, new truth that the Holy Spirit can work with and empower you to put an end to these destructive cycles. This month, we're offering a special offer on the book and CD series. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to get so much out of this. You're going to break those destructive cycles. You know, we're talking about breaking the cycle. We're talking about ending the destructive cycles that happen in your life. And I'll tell you something. Most of the destructive cycles that happen in my life and in your life are the result of our feelings. Now, I don't know about you, but I come from a background where we were told just to ignore feelings. And you know what? Sometimes you can, for a little while you can, but the real truth is, at the end of the day, when there's a battle, there's a struggle between your willpower, your determination, and your feelings and emotions, I got news for you. The feelings anyhow are always going to win. The emotions might not. But most people don't know the difference between feelings and emotions. But I'm telling you what, today you're going to know this. Listen, God created us. He made us a living soul. And you know, we're spirit, soul, and body. But our soul, a living soul, is a soul that is under the dominion and influenced by the life of God in our spirit. When we believe the truth of God's Word, yield to the truth of God's Word, our soul becomes influenced by what God has done on us. Our soul becomes influenced, and we begin to feel God's truth. You see, I don't want to just know the information about God's truth. I don't want to just have the right answers to put on a test one day. You know, people act like they're going to go to the pearly gates and sit down and take an exam, and if they answer all the questions properly, then they're going to get in. I got news for you. Answering the questions properly doesn't change much of anything in this life. But I'll tell you what, knowing and feeling the truth, because even in actuality, that word know means to feel. It's not just talking about knowing it informationally, it's talking about experiencing it with every aspect of your being. Now, your emotions may or may not, they can work for you, they can work against you. They can be evil, they can be good, but they are not inherently good or evil within themselves. Your emotions are the fruit of what you think about. Now, this is important that you understand this. You see, when you think about anything or focus your attention on anything, it affects your emotions. And one of the characteristics of emotions is that they come on really quick and they spike. You know, you can have this phenomenal change in your emotions, and then suddenly you start thinking about something else, or suddenly you see something different, and bam, your emotions will immediately change. And you know when they change, you recognize what's happening. You know, there have been times, you know, when you just, maybe you hadn't seen your wife or your spouse or your girlfriend or somebody you loved for quite a long time. And or maybe you were waiting, you didn't know if they were going to show up, and suddenly they walk in the door, and when you see them, man, bam, just the fact that they're there, just the fact that you've got your attention focused on them, your emotions change. Now, changing your emotions, that's great. And you can do that consciously. A person that controls their thoughts will, in fact, control their emotions, because emotions follow thoughts. Emotions follow whatever you put your attention on, because what you put your attention on causes you to think certain things. But I want you to know, from your heart, you have something that's more like what I call feelings. Now, there's feelings and emotions, of course, are very similar. The difference is where they're originated, and how they react within us. Because, you know, emotions come from our thoughts. Feelings come from the beliefs of our heart. And you see, this is why feelings are hard to change, because you got to change a belief to change your feeling. All you got to do to change your emotions is just change what you're thinking about, change, you know, what you got your attention on. But now, feelings, because they come from the heart, they emerge really very subtly. It can be very sneaky. You can just see something that reminds you of something, and before you know it, you're beginning to very slowly have these feelings come, and before long, you're beginning to feel depressed, and you're thinking, man, what is happening to me? And the problem is that, see, when these feelings come, they come on so subtly that we don't recognize them. We recognize it when it's an emotion, because, bam, it changes. But we don't recognize them when they come on very slow and very subtly. And before long, not only is our life being redirected based on these feelings, but now these feelings start creating new thoughts, and then these thoughts start creating new emotions. And before you know it, you've got thoughts, emotions, feelings, and beliefs all harmonized and moving your life in a direction. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no amount of willpower that can overcome what's happening once your thought, your emotions, your beliefs, and your feelings harmonize. I'm telling you, you are on a course that cannot be stopped by your willpower. That's what the grace of God is about. You know, the grace of God makes us able what we couldn't do in our flesh, what we couldn't do in our own strength. You know, the grace of God, it's nothing more than the Holy Ghost manifesting the power of God inside you. It's God's life, God's strength, God's ability, God's capacity working in you to make the impossible possible. I got news for you. All things are possible when you believe. All things are possible to the person that's in Christ. So I want you to understand something. In the realm of righteousness, it is absolutely essential that you move beyond just doctrinal concepts and you move into belief, believing the truth in your heart about righteousness, and therefore feeling righteous. You know, I know even when I talk about that, that's got to be foreign to a lot of people. I know there's people sitting there going, what do you mean feel righteous? Well, you know, the word righteous or righteousness means as it should be, or as it ought to be. Now, how should you be? See, when we think about righteousness, in the past, we've thought about it from a very religious perspective. We've thought about it from the perspective of doing all of the right things. We've thought about it as, you know, moral perfection and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, morality and all those factors, they are the fruit of righteousness, but they themselves are not righteousness. Righteousness is not, it is a state of being, but it's more than a state of being. Righteousness is actually your nature now that you are in God. Your spirit man has been made perfectly righteous, exactly as it should be before God. Now, if your soul, if it's a living soul, in other words, if your soul is dominated by the life of God that's in you, then in your soul, you will feel no lack. even if you're struggling with something, even if some things are going wrong in your life, even if you've got some personal failures, you may reject those personal failures, but you won't reject yourself. You may hate the things that you do, but you won't hate yourself. And here's the great thing. When you experience yourself as you really are in relationship to God, you'll never settle for a compromised life. Even when you're struggling, even when you're giving into something, I can't live this way. This is not who I am. This is not how I want it to be. This is not the life that I choose. This is not what I want. You see, we have a righteous nature in God. I want you to understand something. Righteousness, according to the book of Romans, is the stumbling stone of the gospel. In other words, more people stumble over their beliefs or their wrong beliefs about righteousness than any other single factor. Romans 9 tells us about this and calls it the stumbling stone of the gospel. And in this issue of righteousness, you will either fall on this stone and be broken, the Bible says, or this stone's going to fall on you and you're going to be crushed. Well, you know something? I want to fall on this stone. And I want to be broken because I choose to be broken. Because I want to break the power of my flesh. I want to break the power of self and selfishness. I want to break the power of deceit. I want to break the power of who I think I am outside of Jesus. And I want to put on the new righteous man that I am. I want to be the man. I don't want to just have a standing before God that says, okay, you're right before God. I want to be a man who lives like somebody that's in love with God. I want to, just like, I don't want my wife just to think I'm a good husband. I want to be a good husband. I don't want my kids just to think I'm a good dad because I put on a front around them. I want to be a good dad who everything about my life is contributing to my wife, to my children, to my friends, to the people around me, the people I serve, to my call, to my destiny, to my God. I want to tell you something. The person who just settles for positional righteousness is a person who, honestly, they're not any better off internally than they were before they got their doctrine straightened out. Because at the end of the day, remember, we talked about this last week, you are made vulnerable by the feeling of lack. The moment lack comes into you, you are vulnerable, and now you begin to have the God-given desires that need to be fulfilled in you, the desire to be loved, the desire to be accepted, the desire to be approved, the desire to not be alone, the desire to sense a loving presence with you. All of that, you're going to try to fulfill somewhere out here in the world, and that's why we keep going through the cycles that we go through, the destructive cycles, because we are trying to meet this need somewhere other than in our relationship with God. Romans 5, chapter 1, I love this because there's so many scriptures that I love. But Romans 5 says this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Man, that's a mouthful. But now, let's go back and look at this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, justified is the process of being made righteous. Now, Jesus obtained righteousness by his faith. He obeyed God. He trusted God. He died. He became our sin. He was raised from the dead. He was given the gift of righteousness. And now, he received that righteousness by his faith. And that is our righteousness. That's what faith righteousness is all about, is a righteousness that Jesus has obtained by his faith. But it doesn't stop there. It says, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word peace is a really interesting word because this word peace is very similar to the Old Testament word for peace. The Old Testament word shalom, it could mean peace, it could mean prosperity, it could mean healing. There are a lot of incredibly positive promises attached to the whole concept of shalom. And this Greek word in the New Testament for peace, it is also a word that can have to do with having all your needs met, being healed, but also having this tranquil state of mind. So what you realize is that now that we have been made righteous with God, all of our needs have been met. And because we are made righteous, because He is not looking for fault in us, because He's not pouring out a wrath on us, and because all of our needs have been met, then we also have this tranquil state of mind, this state of mind that knows that God is good, this state of mind that says all is well, I am as I should be before God. Now, this starts out by talking about the righteousness, really, that I think comes by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about us having peace with God. But now, keep in mind what Jesus obtained for us with His faith and what we experience in our thoughts, feelings, and emotions is all based on our faith. So you got the faith of Jesus that obtained the promises. You got the faith of Jesus that obtained the covenant. You got the faith of Jesus that obtained righteousness. But now, and God's at peace with us, but the question is, do I believe that? You see, it doesn't matter what I've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ if I don't believe it for myself. You see, we don't experience what God has freely given just because it's been given. Because the Bible tells us that we have to receive these things by faith. And that word receive means to take hold of and bring it to yourself. This is not a passive thing where contrary to our choices and without faith on our part, that it just happens just because God has done His part. No. God does His part and offers it to us freely. The question is, will we receive it freely? Now, when I believe the truth, then I enter into this next aspect of this equation. Therefore, having been justified or made righteous by faith, I believe that's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we see where our faith comes in. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So wait a minute. Now, grace is not mercy. Grace is not God overlooking your sin. Grace is not what you can get by with. Grace isn't a lot of things that people seem to want to define it. Grace is God's strength by the Holy Spirit that works in me. God's power. God making the impossible possible in me. Me having a strength that's stronger than I am. Me having a capacity that's bigger than I am. Me having something at work in me that makes me be able to function beyond anything in this natural. So it says, I have, by my faith, now I have access to grace. Jesus obtained it, I have access to it. So this means now that the grace of God is making me able to experience, to feel, to enjoy, and to be empowered by everything that God has given me through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is where we begin to move into the realm of feeling righteous. You know, many of you know, I have a powerful tool that I developed over 30 years ago, around 30 years ago, called the Prayer Organizer. The Prayer Organizer was a tool where I took the names of God, and based on the names of God, then I took the Word of God, and the promises that were made in the Word of God, and then I connected that to us being in Jesus and created a basis from which we worship and acknowledge what we have, who God is, what His promise is to us, and the fact that promise is ours because we are in Jesus. You got to always remember that. We only have what we have if and because we're in Jesus. He obtained it. We don't earn it. We don't work to get it. He obtained it. But we have to believe what He's done for us. And the Bible says we believe on, we believe in, we believe into, we believe with, we believe through. We believe exactly what Jesus believed. And we believe that because of Him, that we share all that He obtained for us. And because we believe that, then the Holy Spirit power, like the way the Pentecostals, you said, Holy Ghost power comes alive inside of us, making us able to do what we never could do, making us able to live like we never could live, making us able to enjoy what we didn't even enjoy before, and making us able to get over enjoying things we used to enjoy. So it says that I have access by faith. And remember, faith and grace always work hand in hand. Anybody that tries to tell you that you can experience the grace of God apart from your personal faith is deceiving you. We have salvation by grace through faith. And salvation is saved, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, set apart. Everything that God has is a work of grace that we have access to by faith. And it says, so we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand. In other words, our ability to stand, our ability to be strong, our ability to not waver, our ability to not give in is based on the fact that we're experiencing the grace of God. And I love this. He says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now that word rejoice, that means to joyfully boast. Man, I love that. Man, I used to get my prayer organizer in the mornings, and I'd get up and I'd take that prayer organizer, and I would start acknowledging the names of God. And I'd start acknowledging and lifting up, you know, these promises that I have in Jesus. And I'm telling you what, it wasn't dry, rote, redundant, repetitive quotation of scriptures. For me, it was like plugging into a socket, and suddenly the light comes on, man. Because one of the differences was I did everything I could to see, to feel, to internally experience everything that I was saying. And when I would call myself righteous, the truth is, man, there's something I feel because I connect to the righteousness that I have in Jesus, and I feel righteous. I got news for you. If you feel righteous, you're not going to be given into sin. And the only times I've ever given in to sin was times that I didn't feel righteous. I didn't feel that I was who God said I was. I didn't feel like I had what God said I had. I felt lack. And buddy, all of us will succumb to the power and of temptation when we feel lack. But He says, we rejoice, we joyfully boast in the hope. That word hope means the confident expectation of the glory of God. Now that word glory, that goes back to the view, the opinion, the reality. And so He's saying that we've been made righteous, we have peace with God, and we access all of this by faith and experience of grace, and that makes us able to stand, and we rejoice, we acknowledge, we lift up, we exalt our confident expectation of God's view and God's opinion as our own reality. You see, if you don't acknowledge our righteousness in Jesus, we'll never feel righteous. If we don't see and believe why we're righteous in Jesus, we'll never get our head around it. See, this is why the Bible tells you got to renew your mind. Your left brain that God created has to have correct information. But that correct information is never enough by itself. Your right brain, which God created, has to experience that information. And when you get the right information and you allow yourself to experience that information emotionally, then it writes something on your heart. It writes that truth on your heart. And now your feelings start following that truth. Listen, I got something great I want to share with you in our mentoring moment. Be sure and come back because I want to give you the rest of the tools for this. You know, when most people talk to me about the end times, it's really amazing. They ask all the wrong questions. Did you know if you ask all the wrong questions, you come up with all the wrong answers? I want you to know something. Jesus told us what we needed to know, but we're still asking the wrong questions. You know what? I'm going to be releasing a new book, and I don't even have a title for it, and it's in the editing process right now. It's going to be one of the most helpful books about the end times that you've ever read. In fact, it's going to show you how we got here. It's going to cover the world history from the fall of Lucifer to the flood, from the flood to the Middle Ages, from the Middle Ages to the 20th century, where we are right now and where we're going and what we need to know. Jesus does not want you to be in fear. He wants you to be equipped. He wants you to be filled full of grace. He wants you to be filled full of life and power. And I want to help you get there. Breaking the Cycle is going to do just that. It's going to give you the tools you need to break the destructive cycle in your life. Listen, we got a special offer on the book and the CD series. And not only is this going to equip you and help you and really transform your life, but I want you to know when you spend money on these products, we use that money to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're not only investing in yourself, but you are investing in the world so they can know the love of God. In the book of Romans, Paul was saying that we joyfully boast in the hope of the glory of God. And what's interesting, he goes on to say, and not only so, but we even boast in tribulation. Now that's an interesting factor, you see. Paul is saying that not only do we boast joyfully, acknowledge and worship and praise and give thanks for in our confident expectation for God's view and opinion being our reality. He said, but even when we face tribulation, we don't look at the tribulation. We don't take our attention off of God's realities. We focus on God's reality. Now, I want you to understand something. Whenever you are faced with situations, if you take your attention off of God's promises and move it onto those situations, your emotions will change. And if you let your emotions change long enough, and if inwardly you begin to speak destructively and speak doubt, then what's going to happen is you're going to write something on your heart and your beliefs are going to change, and now your feelings are going to begin to take you in those destructive directions. We want to do what the Apostle Paul said. Even in tribulation, we want to keep joyfully boasting in our confident expectation of God's view and reality being my reality, or God's view and opinion being my reality. You see, when I'm facing these situations, I've got to acknowledge the promise of God. I've got to acknowledge that because I'm in Jesus, that promise is mine. And not just acknowledge it, but I need to experience. You know, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only because we deceive ourselves. Well, that word doers in the Greek means a poetic performer. This is not talking about going out and earning something from God. This is talking about becoming a poetic performer, a person who takes the word of God and begins to speak it emotionally and begins to affect their emotions. Now, what's interesting, he warns us that if we're just a hearer of the word and not a poetic performer, we're going to be like somebody that looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what we look like. We don't want to forget that we're the righteousness of God. We want to feel it all the time.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.